Before we start reading, I hope everyone can see either a little sheet like this for the adults and those who are good at writing, or there's some flip charts for the younger ones. I'm not sure if Iffy Kitten got one, Rob, if there's any left. Did you get one, Iffy Kitten? No? Do you not want one? There are some available at the back. Can anyone not see one of these? Great, we've got enough. I hope this will help us understand the Bible passage that we're learning from today. Right, we're not going to read all of Daniel chapter 4 because it's quite long. We're going to read some parts of it, and I've got someone who's going to be helping in part of that reading. Children have been looking at Daniel on Sunday mornings in their groups up the road, and adults have been looking at it in our group here, and we've learned that Daniel was the best wise man in Babylon. He knew more than all the others. Daniel had explained the mighty king Nebuchadnezzar's dream about a great statue. Remember, he had that dream about a statue with a head of gold and arms and chest of silver and belly of bronze and legs of iron and clay. And then God had rescued Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was last Sunday. We thought about that. He rescued them from the fiery furnace. Well, they got thrown into it, but they came out alive. And we're going to read now about another dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. So I'm going to start reading at verse 9. Okay. So on page 888, this is the dream. And he's saying to Daniel, he's using Daniel's other name, Belshazzar, wants him to explain it to him. So chapter 4, verse 9. I said, Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven. He called out in a loud voice,
mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets them the lowliest of people.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, messenger from heaven, and also sound technician for sorting out the sound there. So let's think about what happened in that dream. I've got a picture of the tree here on the board. I've got a few questions to help us think about what we heard. If we could have some slides, Mark, please. Got some questions to help us check that we heard what was said in this Bible passage about the dream. So number one, the huge tree, how high did it reach? To the sky, to the moon, or to the roof? Sky, reached to the sky. It's enormous. See, my tree is so big, it won't fit on my board. And the next question, The tree had beautiful apples, beautiful leaves, or beautiful branches? Which is it, branches or leaves? I'm getting different answers. Which verse have we got? Verse 12. Its leaves were beautiful. Okay. It did have lovely fruit. I mean, look, my this tree here has got these lovely. Oh, look, there's one there. There's a fruit on this tree. I wonder. It tastes very. It smells very nice. Not tasted it yet. Real fruit on this tree. Good. That's good. Next question. In the branches lived monkeys, cats, birds. Birds. Yeah, well done. Next question. Under its branches sheltered people or fish or animals. Can't hear. Animals. Yeah, which verse is that? That's under it, the wild animals found shelter, verse 12. And then a messenger came. What kind of messenger was it? Next question. Is it a pigeon, an angel, or a child? It's an angel messenger. And the message of the angel was scatter the fruit, eat the fruit, cook the fruit. Scatter the fruit. So I've got some fruit here, like the fruit on the tree. Scatter means just chuck it around. Okay. Before he said that, actually, he said something about the tree, didn't he? Cut the tree down. So this great big tree is cut down. What's the next question? The messenger said, let the animals and birds stay. I forgot to put my animals and my birds up. Hopeless. There's the animals that were sheltering under the tree. They're the birds that were in the tree. Is the message that the animals and birds stay, that they flee, or that they go to sleep?
Flee.
Flee, that's right. So head off far away. Because the tree's no good to them anymore. Okay, what we've got to do, we've got to get rid of this tree. And now I'm going to put up some sheets that will help those of you who've got sheets to fill them in. Here we go. So for the younger ones, you've got sheets. They should look something like this. There we go. And we're going to fill them in together. The old ones and the adults, you've got questions to answer on your sheets, okay? So the tree has fallen down, and then something strange happens. Did you notice this in verse 15? Let me read what the messenger said in the verse 15. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the fields. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed. See, to begin with, the dream is all about a tree, but now the messenger is saying he. Because the dream was a picture of a person. So those of you who are writing in the answers to your questions, that's the answer to question one. The dream was actually about a man or a person. And this person will become like an animal. He would live outside with the animals. And there's a lesson for it, verse 17. The decision is announced by the messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High, that's God, is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. That's the lesson. God is the real king. He is in charge of everything. No one is in charge of him. He is stronger than everything. No one is stronger than him. Who is the lesson for? Does it say in that verse? You'll have to look at it. Who is the lesson for? The living. So who are the living? It's everyone. This is a lesson for all the people in the world that they need to learn. It's for the living. Now, what a strange dream. There's a great, great big tree with birds in its branches, animals underneath, lovely, tasty fruit, but it's cut down. And then it's left. And so Nebuchadnezzar wants to know what the dream means. And Daniel's the man who's good at explaining dreams. Daniel, what does it mean? And so Daniel explains. I'm going to start reading from verse 19. Then Daniel, also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belshazzar, don't let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. Adversaries are people who are against him. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, and it was tasty food. I wish I could have shared it with you. Tasty food. Giving shelter to the wild animals and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky. And your dominion, that means the places that you're in charge of, the place you're in charge of extends to the distant parts of the earth. Your majesty saw a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven and saying,
eat and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze. In the grass of the fields, while its roots remain in the ground, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until seven times pass by for him.
This is the interpretation, Your Majesty. So let's just stop there. People who are answering the questions, that's question number two. We've said, what does the tree mean? Who is the great tree? Who is it? Nebuchadnezzar. You can write Neb if you want. I'm sure his brother probably called him Neb. It's quite a long name to write, isn't it? But if you're filling in this, I've drawn a picture here. If you've got the flip charts, look what it's going to turn into. I'm filling in these lines. It turns into a castle because that shows Nebuchadnezzar's greatness. So you can fill in those lines to make a castle to show his greatness. But then what's going to happen to him? What did the Holy One say has to happen to him? The tree is going to be cut down. Where is he going to have to live? In the fields, like an animal. That's right. So this picture here, if you're filling in the pictures, I've drawn my arms and legs. You can fill in the rest of the body, put in a head and a body, and his hair will grow all long because he won't be able to go to the hairdresser. Because he's living in the hairdresser can't come to him. He's living in the field like a wild animal. That's your answer to question three, isn't it? He's going to become like an animal. But what about the bottom of the tree, the stump? What does that part mean? Well, look at verse 24. This is the interpretation, Your Majesty, and this is the decree that the Most High, that means God, has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Okay, so it's saying that Nebuchadnezzar will be like an animal until he changes. That's your answer to question four, if you're doing the number of questions. If you want the longer answer, until he acknowledges God, until he changes. But if you're doing the drawing, I've put some dots on this to make it look like a clock. So we can say, until the time comes, you can do two arms to make it look like a clock. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar had his dream. It was a great big tree. So big it wouldn't fit in my picture here. I'll do some fruit on it there. But then it fell down. And if you wanted, you could draw some birds fleeing away. That's how you do birds that are fleeing away. So great big tree, cut down, and then left for a while. So three parts to the story. And Daniel explains the three parts, doesn't he? So the first part, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the big tree. You are great. There's a castle to look great. Nebuchadnezzar, you are going to be made like an animal in the fields. Your hair's going to grow long. There are other things about it. Probably his breath was stinky and things like that, but he doesn't mention that. Until the time comes. Until the time comes when you acknowledge God in heaven. Okay, that's God's message to this great Nebuchadnezzar. Well, what's going to happen? Is Nebuchadnezzar going to listen? Is he going to be the kind of king God wants him to be? Let's read and see what happens. Verse 28. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, so he's being as great as he can be. He's on the top. He's looking down on his great city, and you can see far away all the places he's in charge of. When he's on top of that roof, he said, verse 39, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Did you hear what he thinks about himself? Who's he thinking is great? Who's he impressed by? Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. Quick, voice from heaven.
For you, King Nebuchadnezzar, your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes.
Thank you. Okay, so the dream came true. The first part, here we've got, if you're filling this in, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to put a hands on the end of these lines. This is Nebuchadnezzar, big smile to show how special he thinks he is. He's really pleased with himself, isn't he? There's Nebuchadnezzar being proud. If you're filling in the written answers, Nebuchadnezzar was proud. That's how the dream came true. I'm sorry, the numbering of the questions is confusing. Some of you, half of you have got question sheets that begin at number 8. That's because I don't know how to use a computer. Sorry about that. Okay, so well then, if you're persevering, going through in order on the page, you should have got to the section where it's either question 5 or 12. Nebuchadnezzar was proud. Then what happens? Well, he changes to be like an animal, just like the dream said, like when the great tree is cut down. So here he is again. I couldn't think of another picture. So you're filling in a picture. He became like an animal. If you're good at speech bubbles, there's an animal noise. Grrr. Okay. Yeah, question 13 or question 6, is it? If you've got the correct numbers, is he became an animal. Well, part 1 and part 2 of the dream have come true. Part 1, the great tree. Part 2, the tree cut down. Daniel explained it. Greatness, being made like an animal. Well, is part 3 going to happen? Let's see. Look in the Bible. Verse 34. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. My sanity was restored means he started thinking properly again. He stopped being stupid. He stopped being a fool. He started being wise and thinking the right things. What happened that made his sanity restored again? Top of the next page. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. Now he knows the truth about God, and he says this, his dominion, so the bits he's in charge of, is an eternal dominion. That means it goes on forever and ever. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? He's so strong. He's so powerful. He's in charge of all the kings and all the kingdoms. So Nebuchadnezzar realizes the truth about God and realizes that God is the real king. So we've just got one picture left. It's question number 7 or 14. It changed when he acknowledged God, didn't it? And so for my picture here, I've drawn a crown. You see, if you connect up those lines, we can make a crown shape. So God is the real king. You draw those lines to connect those, makes a crown shape. Well, that was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. An enormous tree that was cut down but left for a while, and then things were made better at the end. And the meaning of the dream was Nebuchadnezzar's greatness that God had given him. But then Nebuchadnezzar had to be made like an animal until the time was finished. And it came true. Nebuchadnezzar was proud, just thought about how great he was. He was made like an animal, lived in the fields, until he admitted God is the great king, the real king, in charge of all kings. What about us? What is this telling us today? Well, this part of the Bible is not about our dreams. God is not promising that we'll all have a special dream tonight. Sorry. God's not promising we'll all have a special dream tonight. It's not telling me I'm like Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest man in all the world. It's not telling me I'm going to be like Daniel, who can explain dreams. God's saying, listen to what Nebuchadnezzar was told. He's saying, listen to Nebuchadnezzar. He's passing on God's message. And what Nebuchadnezzar is telling us is God is the real king. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the greatest there was, but God forced him to realize God is the real king. And that's what God wants us to know. God can make the people who think they're great and in charge and the greatest, the super powerful, he can make them realize God is the one in charge. I want to read you two verses to show you what God is teaching now. Look back to page 889, verse 17. 889, verse 17. The decision is announced by the messenger, by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so the living, everyone in the world, may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of peoples. That's saying God is the greatest. He's the king of all kings. He's in charge and everyone needs to know it. And the last verse of the chapter, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt. That means I say how great he is and I want everyone else to know how great, and glorify the king of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. However powerful people in charge seem to be, God is the one really in charge. He decides who rules. He decides how long for. God is in charge of who's a parent, who's a football captain, who's a policeman or woman, who's a teacher, who's a head teacher, who's a prime minister, a president, a king or a queen. He's so great. He's in charge of all those people who are in charge of others. He has put them in charge of what happened. Those powerful rulers make a mistake, and we make a mistake when we think there's no one bigger than them. There's no one bigger. Nothing can stop them. That's a mistake that they make and we make, because God is bigger and he can stop them. He decides who rules. He decides how long for. And those who think they're the greatest and the best, he can make them humble, make them think small things about themselves. Well, the last question is, what have you learned from Daniel chapter 4? What have you learned from Daniel chapter 4? Think about Nebuchadnezzar, this great, great king, like a great tree, proud. He was not kind to God's people. He took their land. He made them prisoners. It seemed like nothing could stop him. But God showed Nebuchadnezzar he was greater. And we can feel like God's people then. Today we can feel like God's people did then. Because some of the people in charge today seem super powerful and it looks like nothing can stop them. They laugh at Jesus. They're unkind to God's people. They might try to stop us talking about Jesus. In some countries, the leaders stop Christians like us meeting in a place, in a building like this. Seems like nothing can stop them. But God is in charge, and rulers can't beat him. And the Bible promises that one day, just like this great tree was cut down and made low, God will show he's in charge and all his people will be alive with him again forever. Mark, we've got a final slide with a bit from the very last part of Daniel that helps God's people when we're feeling other rulers are so strong and there's no point. At the end, this is God speaking to Daniel. At the end, your people, Daniel, everyone whose name is found written in the book, all people who are in God's book, will be delivered. What will they be delivered or rescued from? Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. You see, even being dead won't separate God's children, God's people from him. That's the biggest danger, the biggest power that it seems these great rulers have. But God's bigger than that. Even if they kill us, make us dead, he's going to raise us to life. So don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell, let them know at school or let your neighbors know that you're a Christian. And if you can, tell them about God and his son, Jesus. Invite them to church where they can hear about him. They might think that the rulers who laugh at Jesus have all the power. But they need to hear, don't they, about the God in heaven and his son, Jesus, who have the most power. They need to hear because they need to be ready for this day. The slide's telling us there when everyone will be made alive, some people to be with God forever and some to be shut out forever. God is the king. God is the great king over all kings. And if people think they're great and nothing can stop them, well, God is able to make those people small again. Don't be tricked. Remember the great God. Don't be afraid of the rulers who seem to be the most powerful. Well, let me know afterwards whether the sheets really confused you, really made it difficult, or if there was anything helpful. Let me know afterwards what you learned, or maybe talk with someone else and say, this is what I learned today from Daniel chapter 4. That'd be great. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you'd like to pray with me, if you agree, join with the amen at the end. Almighty God, the great God, who is King of all kings and Lord of all lords, thank you that you showed Nebuchadnezzar that he was wrong to be proud. He was wrong to think that nothing could stop him. Please help us when it seems that great people can't be stopped, that great people are super powerful. Please help us remember you are even greater, even more powerful, that you can stop them. Please help us to keep trusting and being your people, keep coming to church together like this and not give up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.